At the end of Emor, the Pasha actually is known as the Pasha of Mikalel. It's a very well-known Pasha. There are many different aspects here that one could explore. I only want to focus on one specific aspect. I've spoken about this Pasha many times in the past 35 years. And I would like to explore a different aspect of the Pasha this afternoon. In Pasuk Yud, the Torah says, Vayitze ben Isha Yisraelis, the son of a Jewish woman went out. Even this segment of the Pasuk is inexplicable. Vayitze, of course, right away, the question that Chazal posed, Rashi on the spot, but even the Chilash HaMikro, Vayitze means he went out. Where did he go? Secondly, whom is this person? Ben Isha HaYisraelis, the son of a Jewish woman. So his mother is a Jewish woman, but she is unidentified. The Torah explicitly does not identify her. Furthermore, Vehu Ben Ish Mitzri, whom is his father? His father is an Egyptian man. Again, unidentified. We have unidentified flying objects. UFOs. And where is this taking place? B'toch b'nei Yisrael. We don't even know what that sentence means, or that phrase. B'toch b'nei Yisrael. Of course it's b'toch b'nei Yisrael. We assume. Vayinatsu b'machaneh. The word vayinatsu means, and they are struggling, they are fighting, there's some sort of a quarrel taking place. Whom is quarreling? Ben ha-Yisraelis, the son of this Jewish woman. Ve'ish ha-Yisraeli, and a Jewish man. Isn't this an amazing pasuk? Then no one is being identified. Now there is a machlokes in the Zohar HaKadosh, a very interesting argument. Whom exactly was this Isha Yisraeli? And actually, if you learn Rashi here, Rashi makes reference to this. One opinion is that this Isha Yisraeli was the husband of Shlomit. We'll get to her in a moment. Another one says it was the son of the husband of Shlomit from a different wife. We'll read the Rashi in one moment just to explain that. But let's read further. In Pasuk Gidal, the Torah says, Vayikov ben ha'isha ha'yisraelit et Hashem vayikalea. What happened here? Vayikov. Vayikov means to pronounce, we'll see in a moment, the shame. Can I read the shame Hashem? The ben ha'isha ha'yisraelis, the son of the Jewish woman, pronounced the shame Hashem vayikalea, and he cursed. Vayaviv also Moshe. Right away he was brought to Moshe Rabbeinu. This is called, by the way, in halacha, the chet is known as the chet of migadef, or mikalel. Migadef actually is a technical term that's used by Chazal to describe this phenomena. And then it tells us whom his mother is. B'shem imo Shlomit bat Librina Matei Dan. His mother is from the Sheva Dan, and her name is Shlomit bat Dibri. So as I said, what's very striking in this particular parasha, in these two psukim that we just read, the Torah actually does not identify the personalities that are involved, but the Torah tells us the name of the mother. Shlomit bat Divri the Matei Dan. This Megadev was the son of a Jewish woman, and his mother was Shlomit bat Divri. Rashi, maybe we'll read part of the Rashi. Rashi says, two lines from the bottom, Ben Ish Mitzri, the son of a Egyptian father, says Rashi, who are Mitzri Shorag Moshe. Recall Moshe Rabbeinu, beginning of Sefer Shmos, Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a struggle between who and whom? Between a Mitzri and a Jew. Vayar ish Mitzri, maka ish ibri meyachal. Correct? Moshe Rabbeinu intervenes, and what does he do? Vayachas ha-Mitzri, vayimelei machol. Rashi says over there, how did he kill the Mitzri? With the shame of a forish. Just want to point that out to you. Just keep that in mind. So here, we have the Mitzri that killed, that Moshe Rabbeinu killed. So this person here is the son of that Ish Mitzri. Rashi continues, B'toch b'nei Yisrael, what does that language mean? The son of this Jewish woman, whose father is an Egyptian man. B'toch b'nei Yisrael, well, that means he's Gayer. Clearly there was some sort of a Gayeris that took place. We have a father who is not Jewish, a mother who is Jewish. By the way, is there a need for gerus?
No.
No. So this Rashi also presents a bit of a problem, which I'm not discussing right now. Vayinotzu b'machane, there's a struggle, there's a quarrel. Rashi says, al diskei ha'machane. Whom is quarreling? Ben ha'yisraelis v'ish ha'yisraeli. Says Rashi, zeh shekenegdo, shemichabo, mata o'alo. Again, without getting into this particular issue right now, I don't want to discuss it properly. But for whatever reason, he didn't permit him to plant, pitch his tent in that particular area. And I want to go further. This is what I'm interested in the next part. Vayiko says Rashi Kedaguma Uparish Shenokav Shem Amiruchad VeGideif. He cursed using the Shem Hashem, the Shem Amiferosh, Shashem Mesina, using the Tetragrammaton as it's known, 72 letters. V'Shem Yimo Shlomit Basdivri says Rashi Shivchan Shel Yisrael. This is the Shevach of the Jewish people. Shapirsum Akasav Lizo Loma Shei Levad Ha'isa Zona. She was the only one who has a Zona, which means a Gadavav. Thank you. I knew I could rely on you, David. And then Rashi goes on to say, Shlomit means she was someone who unfortunately hung around the red light district. Shlomit. So Rashi says, who is this Shlomit? The Abbas Patpita. She was constantly chattering, yapping. Shalom Aleichem, Shalom Aleichem, Shalom Aleichem. She said to everyone, how are you? Shalom Aleichem. Or in modern terms, manishma, as Israelis are wont to do. They have several other expressions they use, I won't get into that now. Mifatfetet bidvarim, she was a chatterbox. Shalom b'shalom akol. She was greeting everyone, she was involved in conversation with everyone. So her name is Shlomit, and the word Shlomit obviously Rashi relates to Shalom Aloch, Shalom Aloch, Shalom Aloch. Bat Divri. She is the daughter of Divri, also a very striking expression. Says Rashi, what is Divri? Dabranit Taita, but Daberetum Kolada. What is Dabranit again? A similar expression, the Gemara of Gittin. But Dabranit means someone who speaks to everyone, who's a yapper, a chatterbox, the Fikol Kilkola. That was the cause of the Kilkola. That's here what created the backdrop for this Kilkola. So what's very fascinating is this Rashi. And Rashi actually is quoting from Chazal. And there are a number of Midrashim here. I'm not going to read all the Midrashim, but the Medrash Rabbah actually says the reason why the Torah calls her Bat Divri, the daughter of Divri, because of this, shall I say, this particular inclination to speak. And after the Torah has identified her name and the name of her father, so there's no suffering that obviously this information is important. The question is, why is it so critical? And furthermore, something else that troubles me, at the end of the day, the Torah actually tells us who she is. So why didn't the Torah mention her name at the very beginning of the parasha? Why didn't it say at the very outset who we're talking about? Before her son went ahead and cursed, before he was guilty of the chet of Megadif, the name that he heard in the Shema Mefarsh, that Rashi says he heard in Har Sinai, then the Torah would not have had to repeat, and repeat not just once, but twice, Ben or Isha Yisraelit. This kasha I saw is asked by the Arachayim HaKadosh, by the Ababanel. Many Rishonim asked this question. Why did the Torah wait to reveal the name? It should have revealed this at the very outset. Its information should have been presented to us forthwith. Why the delay? Why the procrastination? And I saw this question is also asked by the Zohar. Pesach and Shavuos, I get into the Zohar. I actually saw it quoted, that's why I'm familiar with it. I'm not into the Zohar Bichlal. But the Zohar writes, Vayiko ben Oisha Yisrael says Hashem. What does it mean, Vayiko? Pasuk Gedalev? Says the Zohar, Noki Madahavasasim. Somehow they pronounced that which was completely Satu. Satu means concealed, something that was covered. Furthermore, the Zohar said, the Shemim or Shlomit Badibri, Adkan, till this point, Satim Shmei Deime. The name of the mother was concealed. Came in the Sid Vayikov, once the transgression occurred, says the Zohar, Nokim Shmei Deime. Then the Torah identifies the name of the mother. Now, somehow, the reason why the Torah decided to conceal the name of the mother, because it's prior to anything happening, prior to any chet, there's clearly a backdrop here, a background. But the moment the chet is committed, at that moment, the Zohar says, that's when the Torah felt constrained to mention the name of the person. So I would like to talk about the following, an issue that I haven't really discussed, but I think it's worthy of discussion, and that is the impact of a mother on a child. I never cease to be amazed by the unbelievable statements in Chazal all over the place about women. Chazal make many statements about women, and sometimes they are not so, shall we say, favorable. But overall, there's no question that Chazal saw in a woman the very foundation of our homes, and essentially the yisod of the netzach nitzrius of Klal Yisrael. The eternity of Klal Yisrael depends on women, no question about it. Not just from a biological perspective, I'm talking about spiritually. When Chazal, for example, say, "Bishrut nashim zikonios nigalo yisrael mitzrayim," because of the women who were masa nefesh in Egypt when Jews were, unfortunately and tragically, suffering from the terrible persecution of Paro, they were the ones who were mechazik their husbands. And I'm not here to describe all the midrashim of Chazal, tachas ha-tapuach or atich, the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, and they maintain somehow their strength, their inner strength, and as a result, Chazal tell us that Klal Yisrael perpetuated themselves definitely because of these women. And in general, anyone who's familiar with Jewish women, Baruch Hashem, our mothers were our individuals, in your case, in my case, Zichron Lebracha, my mother was a tower of strength for many, many respects, indomitable, her emuna, Mesiras Nefesh, and now we see Keseda throughout Chazal. Chazal tell us actually, the Gemara Nevamah says, even if a person has a wife who's not so ay ay ay, he should be makitov, because Dayeno Shemagadlo says Baneno. You have to be thankful that they raise our children, and that's what the Gemara says in Kedushin. I assume you're familiar with it, Rashi quotes it as well. Now, when it comes to kibud av v'aim, what does the Torah say first? Kaveh des, avicha v'simecha. When it comes to the mitzvah of mora, namely yira, parashat kedoshim, ish ima v'yavim tiro. It says first mother, then father. Why the distinction? So the Gemara says in Kedushin, a famous Gemara, I think it's in Daf Lamed, the Gemara points out that
the father is more natural.
Correct. The Gemara, the lashon of the Gemara is that gol v'yadu av v'mishama v'hoya olam. The Torah knows, or rather Hashem knows, gol v'yadua. Before the one who created the world, that Ben the Chavid is Ima Yosem Yavid. A son honors his mother more than his father. Why? What does the Gemara say? Bimnei Shemeshadalto. What does she do? She knows how to win him over with her feminine wiles and charm and the like. A mother certainly knows how to do that. She coos to the child, and she woos the child, and she entices the child, and she uses all kinds of cushy, cushy, mushy, mushy, and with that type of style, she is successful in winning over the child. However, the Gemara says, and that's why the Torah tells us when it comes to the mitzvah of kibud, the Torah reversed it. Because naturally, as Dovi pointed out, our natural inclination is to honor our mothers more than our fathers. When it comes to the other element of mora, the Gemara says that a child fears his father more than his mother. By the way, it doesn't say what you think it's going to say. What would you think it's going to say? Because the father may sometimes give the child a, shall we say, a few patches here and there. That's not what the Gemara said. The Gemara said, "Veshem lamdo Torah." Because the father teaches him Torah, has to be done in a disciplined kind of way. And then in order to redress what seems to be perhaps also correct and imbalance, that's what the Torah there says, "Ish imo b'yavetiro." Whatever the case is, it's clear that a mother has an unbelievable influence on a child, and not just naturally, even Chazal had the famous halachic statement, Ubar Yerach Imba. There's a very fascinating Yerushalmi Chagiga. I know it actually from a thesis. A thesis actually in Chagiga Daf Tezvot in the base, a Xerox thing, that it's talking about Elisha ben Abuya. You know, Elisha ben Abuya Acher, unfortunately, went off the Derech. So the Gemara says, Kshahisa Imo Shalachim Uberesbo, when she was pregnant with her son, she once passed a house of idolatry. She apparently sniffed or scented a takrobis of Zara. They were offering something up to some idolatry, to some idol. And that reyach, the Yerushalmi says, mifapea begufa ke'erso shel chalichina. Somehow, that reyach entered and penetrated her guf, and that had ashpa on her son. Exactly what the Yerushalmi means, I do not know, being a Litvak that I am. But I do know that there is such a notion. The Gemara says, for example, another Yerushalmi about Rav Yeshua ben Hananya. The Gemara says about him, Yerushalmi, Ashrei Yolanato. His mother used to pass by the Batei Medrash when she was still pregnant and he was in utero, correct? That is to say, inside, not having yet emerged. And the mother passed by the Beis Medrash in order he should hear the Kol HaTorah, and it says about that, Ashrei Yolanato. Happy is the one who gave birth to such a child, Rav Yeshua ben Hananya. Without getting into all the details of this, but this Yerushalmi at great length here describes the fact that this had a major influence, and as a result, Elisha ben Avuya was born. So I would like to suggest that perhaps this is exactly the pshat as well in these psukim. Namely, what is being suggested, that as long as this son of a Jewish mother was betoch b'nei Yisrael, even though Rashi says in the word Vayetzei, question I asked you earlier, what does Rashi say Vayetzei? Me'echon yatza? Rashi has two explanations. One, me'olam yatza, or he left, mi'pasha shalamala yatza, he was mezalzel, and alechem aponim. I'm not going to get into it. If you have to leave, you should go. What? No, never say that. It's fine. They'll tell you over, Mitzvah Hashem. So Rashi here, but she's still called a Ben Yisraelis. However, the moment that there's a terrible chet, that's when the Torah decides to go ahead and publicize her name. The moment that there's an act of giduf, an act of mekalel, the Torah, in effect, emphasizes, accentuates her name, and tells us that this Yerida is a direct result of the mother. And as I quoted the Zohar before, till then, the Torah has not revealed to us the name. At this point, the Torah reveals to us the name. Apparently, she is clearly related. And this Shlomis Bas Divri was the one, in effect, she is clearly held responsible. And the son of this Ben Ish Mitzri, and he led to Chir Vegiduf. The question exactly is, as I said, what is the connection? It's clear that there's a connection between a mother and a child, and a mother's a major influence on a child. But I want to talk about that which Rashi spoke about here, and that is the name of a person, which of course is very clearly accentuated here. By the way, this Derech Agav, I find the Pasha of Emor to be amazing. How does Emor begin? What's the Pasha called, by the way? Emor. Emor, of course, refers to Amira. How does the Pasha begin? Emor al-Kohen ben Aaron. These are the ones that are told to the Kohanim. Yamati and the Levi Shalit Abba whom they are allowed to, shall we say, become tummy to, if anyone. So it begins with Amira, and the Pasha also ends with Amira, namely with Mekaleh. Unless there's a kind of, what they call in Hebrew, inclusio. It begins with Amira, it ends with Amira. The first Amira, of course, is Amira to Kohanim. An Amira that Kohanim Akadosh and the like, and unfortunately the Pasha ends tragically with the Amira of Megadeh, of an act of blasphemy, of cursing. In general, when we look at the names of individuals in Tanakh, you'll notice, for example, let's just take an example from the two Mialdos that I mentioned at the beginning of Shemos, and they are, as you know, Shifra and Pua. Chazal say, Huma Shifra and Pua? Gemara Tzaita says, Huma they? Nechemin and Miriam. Why are they called Shifra and Pua? So Rashi calls it here, Shifra, Shaisa, Mishaperes, and Sablan. What did she do when the child was born? She would beautify the blood of the child, correct? Pua is called, Miriam is called Pua. Why is she called Pua? Because she would coo to the child. Po'al Ablad, and she would in effect play with the child. Rashi insults actually has a long arichus. He says, Mishashas oto kidarach shemesachakin litinokos bedvar marim lushasha. She would dance with the child and play with the child and make the child feel very comfortable, etc. Anyway, so again, when the Chazal indicate that these are the two names and their significance, I don't believe Chazal are saying this simply from an allegorical standpoint, but rather Chazal, in effect, are telling us something about the significance of names. And I have actually, on the many occasions, looked into the matter, just to give you, again, I have my own examples I can show you, but without going to other examples, you have even here, in these psukim that we just read, Yud, Yud Alf, and Yud Beis, is the Gemara Sanhedrin. And maybe we'll just refer you, actually, not only in these psukim, but maybe I should mention even earlier psukim. I should have xeroxed that, but I didn't. If you remember at the end of Parshas Balak, beginning of Pinchas, the Torah describes over there a story of a Nasi of Shebedan who decided to consort with a Midianite woman. You recall that? What does it say over there? You have a chumash. You can read it. Oh, you can read it for me. Go ahead, Rafi. B'shem ish Yisrael hamukeh, Hashem ukas hamidyanis. Say that at the beginning of Pinchas. I'm sorry, I could be wrong. Maybe you tell them the ma'aser first. 1 second. The end of Balak. I'll just make a block of the meanwhile. Baruch ato Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Shehakol Liyeh Bidvaro.
Amen. Is that from Vayar Pinchas?
A little before that. Go ahead, yeah.
Yisrael Bashitim Vayachel Ha'am Liznus.
Liznus, but also Ma'am. Correct, go ahead, yep.
Batekrena La'am Lizibche Elohen Vayachel Ha'am Vayishtachvu Lelohen.
They're involved in the Zohar. Vayitzamet Yisrael Valpar, go ahead.
Vayichar Af Adonai Vayisrael.
Vayomar Hashem.
Vayomar Hashem Al Moshe, Kach Eskol Roshay Ha'am Vehoka Osam La'ashem Neged Hashamesh.
Right. Vayashov Haran Av Hashem Yisrael. Now comes the puzzle that's relevant. I'm sorry.
One more. Vayomer Moshe El Shoftei Yisrael, Hirgu
Ish. Ish Hashem Anishvalim Avalpor. Avalpor 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 Avalpor
Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor
Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor
Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor
Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor
Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor
Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor
Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor
Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Avalpor Impales them is correct. Hazal indicate where the impaling took place.
By Yakam Mitoch Aida, by Yikach Romach,
Romach Biado, Biado, by Abo, Achaish Israel, Akuba, by Korshne, Macy Israel, and Shal Kabasa, at Yatsa Magib, and the Abbot Esau. Now comes in Pinchas, turn the next page. So Pinchas, you have, what does it say there?
By Dabar Shalom, Lemor, Pinchas Ben Alazar, Ben Aaron, Hakoin,
he
shivat.
He was, did an act of Kino, but then it continues.
Abbot Esau, Bikanos, can I say, Bizaham,
yes, yes.
Israel.
So now, notice what happens. Hamukkah. Similar phenomena. 1 second. Till now, really, we don't know who these people are, and now the Torah identifies them after the act occurred. Correct. B'shem
Ish Yisrael Hamukkah Asher Huka as Hamidyanot.
What was his name? Zimri ben Salu. And who was he?
Nasib
Ves. He's the head of which Shevet?
L'Shimoni.
He's the head of Shevet Shimon. Correct. Very good. And then continue. What about the woman?
B'shem Aisha Hamukah Midyanis Kazbi Basur Rosh Umos Beis of Midyanhu.
Right. So what is her name? Kazbi Basur. So there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says Darshan's the names. The Gemara loves the Darshan names. The Gemara in Daf Pei says Lo Kazbi Shma Elo Shulaynoi Basur Shma. However you pronounce that. V'lama Nikar Shma Kazbi Shekazva B'yavia. And then the Gemara is a drasha here that the fellow Zimri had five names, Zimri, Ben Sohu, and again, the Gemara has a whole discussion about names. So I'm just trying to show you that names are, shall we say, what did the bard say?
What is in the name?
Correct. I knew I could rely on you. Baruch Hashem, you're about the only one I can rely on. They don't. That's true. I can just rely on David, that's also
time
true.
To time.
But when I say the bard, they think I'm talking about some peacock. And you know who I'm talking about.
Of course, Shakespeare.
Correct. And he said, what's in the name? Do you know the entire line?
I don't know
what
other
what was that? Correct. Excellent. Wow. You're even better than I am. Nice. I'm going to come near you. But essentially, a name, according to Chazal, a name essentially conveys the very essence of the persona. And the one who says this explicitly is a Ramban in Chumash. In the beginning of Bereishis, Perek Beis, Pasuk Yutes Tov, David Tzvi, you probably remember these psukim. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim min Adam kol chayas hasodeh, veis kol ov hashamayim, vayivei lo Adam leros vayikra lo, v'chol asher yikra lo Adam nefesh chayo u'shmo, vayikra Adam shemos. Remember, the Torah tells us that other Rishon gave names, l'chol abeima, u'lof hashamayim, u'lochol chayas hasodeh, u'lo Adam l'motzo ezer kinegdo. And in effect, he named each min. And apparently Chazal say that each min was actually the name that's given to it. The Ramban is really the one who explicitly spells it out. I'm going to read you part of the Ramban in 1 second. I saw a medrash In Bereishis Rabbah, the Bebe says, Amar Avacha, B'shosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Badi Brasas HaOlam, Hashem wants to create the world, he consulted the Malchi HaShoreis, he said, Nasa Adam, I want to make man. Amar Allah, they said to him, Adam Zem Ativa, what's the nature of this man? Amar Lam Chach Masa Rubu Shalachem, he's smarter than you guys. Hey, be the famous of the Amos, Achai Vesaof. So Hashem brought before the Malachim different types of animals and wild beasts and domesticated animals and birds. The other land, Zem Hashmo, Zem Hashmo, Zem Hashmo. How would you call this one? How would you call that one? How would you call the other one? So the Medrash Lo Yodim, they didn't know. Vira the thing, Adam, he brought them before Adam Rishon, the Omar Lo, Zem Hashmo, Omar, Zepil, there's an elephant. Zem Hashmo, Zeshor, there's an ox. Zem Hashmo, Zechamor, Zesus, Zegamol. The Atah, you, Adam, what's your name? Amalo, Adam said to Hashem, Ani Noah, it is fitting to call me Adam. Shenivresim min ha'adama. I was created from the ground. It's unbelievable, Medrash. So Hashem said, what is my name? Pray tell. Bani Mashmi, Amalo Adam. Adam said, Lecha, Noah li yikaros Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. That's what you should be called. Why? Shata Adam Lecha B'yosecha. You are the master, the sovereign of the entire universe. So we see from Rav Acha, he had this medrash, that Shemos is something which is not simply, shall we say, happenstance, but it's very precise. I read it now, Ramban, in that pasuk. The Ramban says the following. What did Adam do? He studied the very nature, the essence of each of these creatures, Kloma, Hashem Aroyalem Kepi Tiveyem. The name that was given to them reflected what? Their very essence. Their very inner persona. Uvishemos Lisboya Miu Aroyalios Ezer Achadero. Vashemos, the Rabban says, they are not simply simonim lakiram. They're not simply, shall we say, a way of identifying this particular animal, but rather, Habdal Saminim Lefitsu Rasam Anashit. Torasam upudoseyem, it's essentially a recognition, as I said, of the very inner persona, of their qualities, of their characteristics, of their traits, even though we're talking about animals. Kvishabaris marach natamahem, umvadadam kvitsurasam. It's unbelievable, Ramban. By the way, probably you are familiar, those who learn brachas, he's not here actually. We have an expert on brachas, this is Shiva. Are you aware? Who is the resident expert on brachas? Sorry? Who?
David
Wertheimer. Correct. David Wertheimer. I haven't tested him on the Homo Sefer yet. I started. But we got sidetracked after Pesach. But he's quite familiar with brachas beautifully. He's learned it many, many times. He continues to learn it many times. And that's a great thing. Anyway, the Gemara says over there, Asher Sam Shamos Ba'aretz Al Tikrei Shamos Al Hashemos. The word, a name actually, is very, very significant. Not only the name of every human being that's given to us at birth, but here Chazal even tell us the name of animals. And it's very interesting. There's a Gemara in Erevin, and Dafkuf, probably also familiar with that. The Gemara tells us that each animal has certain particular qualities. For example, from a chatul, from a cat, what quality does the cat seem to, shall we say, epitomize? The Gemara says it's tzniut. A tarnagol, sender acheretz. The Gemara says that a yona, loyalty to its mate. Very fascinating what the Gemara describes as being the different qualities of different animals. Whatever the case is, I'm simply pointing out that Hashem is not simply a happenstance, but rather it's a reflection of the depth of a person, of his character, of his personality. And the truth of the matter is, now I'm not saying there aren't any other factors that influence a person. Of course, there are many factors. You know, the chinuch, about the whole sefer, is based on what concept? Behavioral therapy. Have you learned the chinuch?
Not thoroughly.
Not thoroughly, but I'm sure here and there, I'll just read you one of them. I Xerox one part of the sefer, chinuch mitzvah tezayin. The chinuch writes, da, ki ha'odam nifal kefi pu'ulosav. A person is a product of his behavior. V'libo v'chol machshavosav tamid, achar maso shavosig mem in tovim ra. Means the person who does on a repeated kind of basis good things, that person will perhaps be able to transform himself into a good person. If he will try to go ahead and become involved in the study of Torah and doing mitzvahs on an ongoing basis, even shalom l'shem shamayim, so repeated actions will transform and metamorphose the individual. That's what you write. Miyad yate alato mitoch shalom l'shma b'lishma. And he has the famous line, which he repeats many, many times, probably tens of times in the Sefer Achinuch, ki acharei ha'pu'ulot nimshachim halavavos. What does that mean? After a person's actions, that will ultimately shape that individual. It will shape his entire ethos, his entire personality, his whole persona. And he writes, even if a person is a tzaddik tamid, and he unfortunately, shall we say, is involved in actions that leave a lot to be desired, that will also transform that individual as well. As a matter of fact, that's the reason why we have an ongoing basis. Essentially, our recidivists from every perspective. We daven three times a day, again and again and again, daily and weekly and monthly and yearly, and our entire life, we do actions again and again and again. The idea being that it should become, as Chazal say elsewhere, Hergel Nasa Tev Hashem. Correct? Which means the more we behave in a certain kind of way, the more it becomes second nature to us. And that's really the source of the Chinuch, who's telling us a very important yesod in life. That even if a person does actions without kavana, sometimes people are not happy, and as a result, they don't feel like learning today, don't feel like davening today. In some cases, it's every day, every tefillah, every davening. Not here at the yeshiva, chas v'shalom. But let's say elsewhere, outside of the yeshiva, outside of the walls of Torah Shiraka. What? And the chinuch is telling you that even if a person goes through the emotions, and a person davens, even though a person doesn't have a cheshik to daven, and a person learns even though he doesn't have a cheshik to learn. So what will happen, says the chinuch, and that's what he writes. So he xeroxes another part of the chinuch, and he says over here that, again, the same type of yesod, it will have ashpan person, it will actually change their lives. As a matter of fact, I saw in the Maseiach Yesharim something of a similar nature, and he talks about the midah of zrizos. How do you translate zrizos?
Alacrity.
Alacrity, thank you. A person has to act with alacrity, eager, enthusiastic. So how does a person develop zrizos? Let's say a person is slothful by nature, full of lassitude, someone who's sluggish, phlegmatic, stolid, simply can't get out of bed in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. What does he do in order to develop zrizos? Says the Maseiach Yesharim, be zariz. Do things energetically and feverishly, and do things with a tremendous enthusiasm, even though you don't feel it. And he writes, "Ki atznua chitzonit ma'oreret apnimit." What does that mean? External actions will affect your very innards. And there's no question that that is true. That a person who, let's say, develops a correct inclination to daven every day on time and to do mitzvahs and to do chasodim and the like, will become a person who's a mispalel and a person who's involved with mitzvahs and a person who's a baal chesed, and that's the way to do it. There's no other way. If we are to wait for, shall we say, our hearts to be in tune with our actions, rachmana litzlan, the situation will be one of disaster. That's how he explains the Chazal that you are all familiar with. The Mishnah at the end of Masechas Makos, what does the Mishnah say? We say it often after we learn Divi Halacha, we say Divi Agada, namely, Chanan Makasha Omer. What's the critical word? Hirba. What does Hirba mean? Hashem piled on Torah and Mitzvahs. So he understands that to mean the following, that by virtue of doing something again and again, it will ultimately, hopefully, transform us. And that's exactly, by the way, anyone who's involved in the study of Torah, as we all are, know that there's some truth to it, a lot of truth to it. Even though a person may begin the study of Torah not with the greatest enthusiasm, and perhaps not even excited about it, and he finds whatever Masechta he's learning not to be the one that, shall we say, I won't even mention anymore. Not to be the one that relates to him and his daily life in a very concrete kind of way, but the more one engages in it and the more one penetrates the secrets of that Masechta, whatever it may be, one will discover he can't connect with it in a very serious and significant kind of way. Okay, I'm coming back to the issue that I wanted to talk about, which of course is the name of the mother, Shlomit Badivri Levati Don. And here we see, for example, contrasting her with Shifra and Pua. Shifra and Pua, who are literally responsible for saving Klal Yisrael. Miriam, Chazal actually, the Rambam actually uses this language in Tumas Saras. Rambam says that Miriam actually, she put her life in Sakona to save Moshe Rabbeinu. Ultimately, Moshe Rabbeinu became the goal of Yisrael. He was born as a result of that. She's the eternal optimist. Her own parents, Chazal indicates, separated from each other because the Gemara says in Tainis. Oh, okay, here you are. Gemara says in Tainis that, oh, sorry, you're not in Tainis? Megillah. Tainis?
David Rosen.
Oh. David Tzvi? No, David Rosen. Okay, he's not here right now. But anyway, the Gemara says in Tainis that during the time of Tzara, that there's an Issa being Mishamish Mitasso, similar to the Mabul. Rashi quotes it as well. And she right away saw that this was an error, and she, the eternal optimist, brought her parents back together. As a result, Moshe Rabbeinu was born. So here Miriam and Yocheved are really unbelievable personalities in terms of sustaining Klal Yisrael. And here we have the converse, in this case, Shlomit Badivri the Matei Don. And the reason why, as I said, the Torah now, Dafka, mentions her name after the Chet, was because of what happened, and as I said, the act of Megadev and Mekalo came about because of a misuse of, shall we say, of a tremendous koach, probably the most important koach that Hashem has brought, gave us, is the koach HaDibur. The Rambam, as you know, in Mor Nebuchim, based on the Targum says that what's the distinction between an animal and a human being? Vayi Adam v'nefesh chaya, says the Targum, the Ruach Memalala, the most famous Targum in Kol HaTorah Kula. The Ruach Memalala, our logos, which is our ability to speak, to articulate ideas, to express ourselves coherently, is a function of the distinct uniqueness of a human being, over and above an animal. And that's why here Chazal, and Rashi mentions it, and the Medrash here is great when it talks about it, a person who is a pat pitanit, which is the term that Rashi uses, someone who's a chatterbox, someone who's a yapper, someone who basically is, as again the pasuk says, bat divri davrona toisa the daberesim kolodom. That was the result that in effect was reflected by this kind of terrible, terrible midah. I want to read you a Mishnah Ksubis and Afayim Beis, the famous Mishnah. Let me just mention the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that there are certain practices that Jewish people have. And that Mishnah is a famous Mishnah, talks about women covering their hair and the like. It speaks about Das Moshe and Das Yehudis. And it tells us that one of the practices that Noshim Tzenuot have is a practice of acting Tzenuot, not just in their dress, not just in their behavior, not just in their interaction with others, but rather, someone who's been Daberes and Kol Odom, the Mishnah says, she is over Al Das Yehudis. Someone who is flirtatious, that's the proper term, someone who is a flirt. And there are both flirtatious women and flirtatious men, unquestionably. We have a number of them in this, shall we say, yeshiva. Although hopefully, I would like to be mispalel that as a result of Limud HaTorah, perhaps it may have had some hashpa on their inclinations and predispositions and propensities, and hopefully mitire them a little bit. Somewhat, but anyway, the Mishnah writes here. Thank you. The Mishnah writes here that this was a quality that, because of this quality, Klal Yisrael were able in Mitzrayim to somehow maintain their integrity. And this person, this woman, who unfortunately and tragically engaged in this kind of flirtatious behavior, because of that, dafka, that's what led to the terrible chet of Megadev. And that's why I see in this parasha an unbelievable contrast. The beginning of the parasha talks about Amira, the Kohanim who are Kedoshim, Emor al HaKohanim b'nei Aaron, and the Medrash writes, Imros Hashem, Imros Tahoros, that the truth is that through the Amira of a person, you can actually see where they are in terms of Kedusha, in terms of their Taras HaMachshava, and the like. I think I mentioned many, many times, my father, Shalom, was so makbid that he felt that if I use the term S-H-U-T-U-P, when I get angry at someone, I want them to basically
close shop.
Close up shop, thank you. David, you're good. Cease and desist from speaking, of course, as opposed to anything else. I would like that too sometimes. But whatever the case is, so my father felt to use such a term is absolutely inappropriate. It reflects a lack of kedusha, a lack of taras hadibur, and even in the area of dibur, one has to be extremely careful how one speaks. And this was a woman who was a patpetonit and a dabronis, but daberes from kolodim, and that led to her, shall we say, dinuimit. Yeah, Ari, you wanted to say something?
If with the comparison of animals and people, that people have the ability to speak and relate to one another through speech, what about a person who, Chas v'Shalom, does not have the ability to speak, is a mute? Is that person considered an animal?
Chas v'Shalom. Chas v'Shalom with Slan. Chas v'Shalom. There are people who, unfortunately, they're lacking in one or two or more perhaps of their chushim, of their senses. We just had a few days ago here in the yeshiva, I think, an individual who's Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. And it was the biggest musa shmuz to me when I heard him speak, Lavi Greenspan, that Hashem should be pokeach einov, he should be zochet to a nes golui, as far as I'm concerned, to siyata dishmaya. I was in tears. And this is not the first time I've heard it. This is number 7. The 7th time I've heard this story, in the course of many years, not all the Torah Shraga, even elsewhere, he also speaks elsewhere, trust me. And I am absolutely brought to tears every time I hear about all the surgeries, and yet the optimism, and the emunah, and the Mesiras Nefesh, and the unbelievable Hakara Satov for the Chasdei Hashem, Alavai should have 1,000,000 of that which he has. I was so taken by his words, you should know. I was misragish the whole, for the next 2 days. So the Koach HaDibur is obviously, we have to be thankful to Hashem Yisbarach for giving us healthy chushim that we can hear, that we can see, that we can talk, but we have to be extremely careful how we use these chushim. That's what you see from this parasha. And that's what I wanted to talk about, specifically the Koach HaDibur. Chazal speak about the Kiyeh Hadash of Yerushalayim. Gedolei Yisrael was so careful how they spoke. Almost every word was measured. I'm not so careful. I'm not saying you. I should be more careful. I try my best to be careful. I don't use that term already for decades. S-H-U-T-U-P. I'll never speak to someone like that. I can't. It's just, it grates on me. And of course, Chas v'Shalom, to use nivel peh, to use any kind of cuss language or foul language or abusive language, or to curse people, Rachman with son, ha-yitochet. Is it possible that people can speak in such a fashion? And that's what I think a person has to develop. People who are B'nai Torah like yourselves, Baruch Hashem, people who are B'nai Aliyah like yourself, people who are ascending and rising, you have to recognize that the Koach HaDibur is one that can be used either for Kedusha, for Tara, or it can be used, Rachman Litzlan, to bring a person down to a situation where he becomes literally a cesspool in terms of how he speaks and how he articulates ideas and the like. When you go on the street, it's just absolutely almost impossible to walk on the street sometimes. I don't know if you have your Hebrew is so good. Trust me, there are curse words in Hebrew as well. And some of them are quite pungent, quite creative, correct? And I try to avoid being in those places. And certainly when people spend their days watching movies and what have you, 24/7, it's very hard to avoid this kind of foul and abusive language. It's almost impossible. It becomes a part of you. As much as you would like to think that you can avoid it, you can somehow separate yourself from the culture around us, we can't. We're products of our environment. The Rambam writes so in Hilchos Deos, and that's why I try to, shall we say, find myself in the company of Talmidei Chachamim, such as people in this yeshiva, budding B'nai Torah, who obviously are going to be more didactic, more careful how they speak and how they articulate ideas. And I think that's something, a very significant lesson that we learned from this week's parsha, that even dibur and just chatting with people as a chatterbox, again, if you look at Gedolei Yisrael, how careful they were, how they spoke, and what they said, they measured their words so unbelievably. And that represents a certain kind of kedusha, a certain kind of sanctity that all of us have to strive for. So Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, Halavai we should be zochet to come to that madrega, appreciate the fact that we have the ability to speak, We had that chush, and yes, Hashem, as I said, Alabama Hashem should be Barakbe, all the Chol Yisrael. I only wish good for people. That's what my father and mother, Alayam Hashem, tried to teach me, to only wish good on people. There are some people that I, somehow they have gotten under my skin, but despite that fact, I try my best only to see the good in people. That's why I have to have a nature like that. Baruch Hashem, and in the yeshiva, even though there are some people here who I find to be sometimes very disturbing, but at the same time, I see a lot of wonderful qualities that they have. And it's Hashem, I hope those disturbing elements will eventually be expunged and eviscerated, and in their place, we'll have only Yitzh Hashem Kedusha, and Tara Samach Shava, and Asmada, and Shkida Batorah, and they should all become great Tamil Chacham. Amen.